Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Let's bring in John Glennon from Broadway Sports. John, how you doing?
I am well. How are you guys doing?
We'll get you to weigh in on – we're good, by the way. Weigh in on something we were just talking about to end the last hour, just because you've been in this market for a long time. There's a report out there, and just get your vibe. Okay, you know the sports landscape and scene here. There's a report out there that I'm sure you're aware of where the Toronto Raptors, they're not sure if they're going to play in their city. Just like the Blue Jays played in Buffalo, they may be looking for a home in the States this upcoming NBA season, and Nashville was one of the possible landing spots. So there was real interest in Nashville being their home for this year. How do you think that would go? Do you think they're – if there were, let's just say for the sake of this conversation, we don't know how long the NBA season is going to be, but let's just say there were 41 home dates. How do you think if all they were allowed to get in was 7,000 fans or what have you as the marker, how do you think that would be received in this market?
Good question. You know, I think certainly if it was a capacity of 7,000, you know, I think that would, you know, I guess help attendance-wise. But, you know, I think it seems like everybody in pro sports certainly seems to love Nashville. You know, everybody seems to agree that it's got great demographics, that when it really gets behind something, particular in sports, you know, there's a ton of support for it. I don't know, though at some point, you know, of course we've heard over the years, you know, certainly there's a plan, a hope to get baseball here as well. And you just wonder where the tipping point occurs if Nashville's ready for another major league sport. I know this would only be for a year.
This is a one-off, yeah. It's a one-off.
Right, with the Raptors. I think there would be, you know, a lot of interest. 41 games, 41 home games is a lot for you know, having some interest there. I'd be curious, to be honest, you know, because – There are obviously no ties, you know, to the Toronto Raptors or anything like that. So I guess the scare, if you will, is maybe you end up with a situation like years ago, decades ago, we saw with the Oilers when they hit Memphis and there were no ties, no connections. The team wasn't going to be there for a while and, you know, no one really seemed to get behind it. But I'd be curious to see. I know there would be a lot of excitement in general about it.
Yeah. What did you make of yesterday? Let's just start with Mike Vrabel's press conference on the question that he was asked after the game from Joe Rexroad on Sunday in the loss to Cincinnati. And then, of course, the questions that were asked yesterday about it, and he knew it was coming. What do you make of what's kind of going on defense and how it seems like, as of today, he's pretty defiant to act like there's – you know, that a named defensive coordinator would change anything?
Yeah, you know, when the defense is playing as poorly as it is now, you know, and repeatedly as we've seen over the last several weeks, I think you certainly have to start going through the variables. You know, this defense was, you know, a decent defense. It wasn't great last year, but certainly solid. So, you know, now are you saying, okay, is it the players that you left? You know, Casey, was it Ryan? You know, was it a defensive coordinator situation? Was it the loss of the assistants? So I think all those questions have to be looked at. I think what really could have helped this defense, you know, whether a specific coordinator is named or added per se, you know, steering away from that just for a second, what really could have helped is with all the change, this would have been a great year to have an off season for the Titans. Instead, you know, you get no OTAs, you know, no mini camps, no preseason games. So a new play caller you know, doesn't get broken in, I guess, nearly as much. And you don't get adjusted to the new assistants quicker. You don't get adjusted to the new players as quick as you'd like. So, you know, this strange offseason really came at an inopportune time for the Titans. And I think we're seeing some of that, you know, to an extent now, whether it's coaches, coordinator, or players. I think all of that, you know, there's certainly some kinks that are still being worked out, to say the least.
The three guys on defense that, you know, was brought in to help, and the third guy that I'm going to mention in this conversation was obviously supposed to help on a much smaller scale and level, but he's been thrust into a bigger role, which, as we've seen thus far, is not the role he needs to be in. But when you think about Vic Beasley with the losses that they had on defense and then trying to replace them with Vic Beasley, Clowney, and then Jonathan Joseph is the third guy I mentioned that was supposed to be on a more reduced role, and the way they've played thus far through seven games, is there any way they can squeeze more? I mean, they've just simply got to get more. If this defense has got any chance of changing in the second half of the season, is there any way in your mind that there's another level for these guys? Can they get another level out of these guys, or is this just what they are?
Well, that's the question, and I think that's why they made that trade to bring in Desmond King as well, because what they are right now is not nearly good enough. When you're giving up third down conversions at over a 60% rate through the course of an entire season, you know, at a 67% rate for the last 4 weeks, you just can't win games like that on any kind of consistent basis. You know, there's going to be some games where you can outscore opponents, some games where you can get more turnovers than opponents and you can find a way to win. But consistently, it's just not going to happen with a defense like that. So in terms of those new guys, you know, Beasley, I think what the Titans saw there, you know, there was a lot of red flags about Beasley. Certainly, you know, people disagreed with this signing from the start. But what they saw was a guy with a lot of potential, a guy who played the same position as Mike Vrabel, and that maybe Mike Vrabel gets a hold of this guy, you know, the hands-on method and really coaches him up. We haven't seen that so far. Clowney was a guy who last time he played under Mike Vrabel had some great stats. Again, you know, this is a guy who's getting paid money to sack quarterbacks, though, and he is just, you know, between Beasley and Clowney, there are zero sacks right now. That's the bottom line. So maybe the fact that they're bringing in Desmond King maybe makes that secondary just a bit better. Adoree Jackson coming back at some point makes it just a bit better, and all of a sudden you have a little bit more time for that rush to get home. So maybe one group that's struggling helps another group that's struggling. But right now, you know, the Titans can't really hang their hat on either the pass coverage or the pass rush, and that's a bad spot to be in.
John Glennon is with us. We're talking some Titans here. So, John, it's a little hard to guess, but what do you think we're going to hear about Brett Kern going forward here? Because special teams has already been an issue, and he is, of course, the best they have in terms of a special teams participant. But if he's out for a while, what do they do?
That is a significant concern, I would say, going forward here, because, you know, Mike Vrabel left it a little bit open-ended yesterday about whether Brett Kern will be back for this Sunday. But the fact that, you know, one report had three punters coming in to be looked at by the Titans this week. So I think that is pretty much a sign that there's a lot of doubt over whether Brett Kern plays here. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at a situation, say you're looking at the field goal situation in particular, you're looking at a snapper who's had bad snaps in 2 weeks, a kicker who's missed four of his last five field goals, and then a new holder as well, since Brett Kern probably won't be available. It's a bit of a dangerous situation, to say the least. You know, we'd have to see who the replacement holder would be. But then, obviously, you know, just the simple punting as well. I mean, Brett Kern has been Pro Bowl guy the last 2 years, a huge weapon in terms of the amount of punts inside opponents' 20 and the amount of fair catches that he gets as well. So, yeah, you don't, you know, it's one of those situations where you don't worry necessarily so much about the punting game until something like this happens. and then all of a sudden you'll see the ramifications. But yeah, the Titans have to hope that Brett Kern won't be out for long. That's for sure.
John, I'm not sure if it was you that asked the question, but I know you were participating in the Zoom call. It sounded like a lot has to go right. Almost everything has to go right in order for Desmond King to be on the field Saturday to play on Sunday. So what do we gauge the chances of him actually being in uniform against the Bears?
Yeah, as best I can tell, the way it works is this. When a player is traded, when he gets to the new city, that he can start taking tests immediately. He has to have 5 straight days of negative tests plus a 6-day point of contact testing before he can get even in the building. So even assuming Desmond King traveled yesterday, went to Nashville, started the testing process, it appears the earliest he would even get in the facility is Saturday. Now, he can still take part in the Zoom calls. He can still prepare for games that way. But, you know, even if everything goes right, do you want to toss in a guy into the lineup before he's really been on the field, maybe except for a walkthrough? I don't know. You know, that will depend on his level of preparation in Zooms and so forth. But I think the good thing is for the Titans that even if Desmond King doesn't play this week, you still have him ready for that long stretch. I think it's 5 straight conference games, including 2 games in 3 weeks against the Colts, which are, of course, crucial to the division pursuit. So you've got him, you know, in those games for sure. And, again, Adoree Jackson, you know, if I had to guess, I'm thinking he's back this week. So all of a sudden, you know, in a couple weeks anyway, this secondary should look considerably different. And a guy we were talking about before, Jonathan Joseph, instead of getting 65 snaps a game at the age of 36, is maybe getting, you know, 8 snaps or 10 snaps like the Titans hoped originally. So that's a significant difference there.
John Glennon of Broadway Sports talking Titans here with us on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. So you bring up Adoree Jackson. So you're pretty confident that you think that he's not going to end up being shut down for the year, that this is going to be okay, he's going to be in the lineup Sunday?
That would be my guess. But you have to remember, even if he doesn't play this week, he is not shut down for the year because the new rules this year for IR, you know, the
COVID. Yeah, I'm confused by this whole thing.
Yeah, it's easy, too, because they've changed a lot of rules. But he could go back on IR, even if those window closes. He could go back on IR, miss another 3 weeks, you know, and the process could begin again at that point. Or if the Titans felt like he was only going to miss 1 or 2 more games, they might just activate him anyway, even if he can't play for Chicago, and they say, well, we think you'll be ready for Indianapolis the following week, so we don't want to lose you for 3 games. We won't put you on IR. We'll just sit you, even though you're active, against Chicago and get you in against Indy. So, again, it's a guess on my part, but, you know, he's practiced 5 of the last 6 days. You know, Mike Vrabel seemed to indicate he'll be back out there again on Wednesday. So I think at some point soon they're going to get some help from Adoree Jackson. We'll see.
John, real quick, I need to step in here because I think we're thoroughly confused. You're the first person. I've talked to people about this over the weekend. You're the first person to lay it out like that. Can you say that again? Because it was my understanding from people that I talked to that – either he's activated this week or he's got to get shut down. So can you tell me that again, what the options that they have? Because I haven't heard anybody else say this.
Yeah, it's my understanding, and I hope I'm not leading everyone down a terrible path here. But, you know, because of the rules that have changed this year for IR, you know, he is operating in a 3-week window right now that they opened for him for practice.
Which would end this week. Which would end this week,
correct?
Which
ends this week, correct, yes.
Okay.
He can, but because of the rules changed this year, in the past, yes, if that window closed and he wasn't activated, he's done for the year. But I believe, and I will double-check this, and I will get back to you guys immediately if it's not the case, but I believe because of the rules changes this year, you don't have that situation. He could go again onto IR for another 3 weeks, or they could activate him, you know, for even if he's not ready, you could activate him. And if he didn't play against Chicago, you know, he could still play against Indy or the following games right. as well.
So he could be on the roster, but he could still be deactivated on Sunday, just like you deactivate
correct.
Several people.
Right, 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 exactly. And that may be, you know, obviously we're looking at a guy who hasn't played a game yet in seven games. So, you know, it still may be a situation where they want to try and work him a little bit more, and that would be the better way to go.
So you're in these Zoom conferences every day. And I noticed yesterday in listening to Mike Vrabel, that there was you could tell he knew what was coming. He knew what he was going to have to answer. But he did have, a calmer sense than we've heard on a Monday press conference outside of, you know, maybe one interaction towards the end. Did you get that sense? How do you think he's handling some of this adversity in his third year as a head coach that maybe he didn't handle as well in the past?
I think he's handling it pretty well for the most part. I've certainly seen coaches who have, you know, been much edgier in their day. You know, I mean, I think overall he still has to, you know, he's looking at a big picture that's not terrible at this point. You know, I think, you know, when the Titans had the big COVID outbreak and were 3-0 at the time, I think, you know, if you had told Mike Vrabel you'll split the next four games, you know, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Maybe he would have thought it would go differently. Maybe they'd lose the first two games coming back from that and then win two. But, you know, realistically, they're still 5-2. You know, they're still tied for the division lead. And we believe that they will be getting healthy and better in the secondary as well. So, you know, it's not at the end of the world. I think the longer that this defense struggles, and the longer they can't get off the field on third down and can't play red zone defense, those questions regarding a defensive coordinator and how much role he is playing in the defense as well will continue to pop up. And that's when things will probably get more uncomfortable.
We saw Ryan Tannehill throw that interception on Sunday. Darren said it might be the worst pass he's seen him throw as a Tennessee Titan. I know there are some, I'm not saying I'm one of them, that there's still that little piece of them in the back of their head that say, oh, he's going to turn into Miami Tannehill. But I feel like he's, when he's had a bad throw or he's had a bad game, he has bounced back. Do you get that sense from him that going into Chicago, he's studied that, he's moved on from it, and it's not something that you really have to worry about?
Yeah, it was such a rarity in really two regards. You know, one, it's been such a rarity that he has thrown an interception this year at all. Now, I think that's only his third of the season. And also, this team has been so good in the red zone and in goal-to-go situations. So to see them fail there, you know, was a surprise. And you're right, that was a poor pass. You know, I think it could have been intercepted by one of two players. In that regard, but you know, I think that's more the outlier than the norm that we've seen from Ryan Tannehill. I think, you know, will Ryan Tannehill be affected by the loss of Taylor Lewan at some point? Will there be more pressure? Will there be some quicker throws? You know, maybe a slightly less accurate rate for Ryan Tannehill. Yes, I think all those things will happen, but you know. I think for those people who are looking at, you know, one red zone interception saying, you know, hey, I told you so, here comes the big tumble. I don't think we're going to see Miami level Ryan Tannehill at this point either. I think he's, you know, moved beyond those low expectations.
He's John Glennon of Broadway Sports. Hey, Johnny, we appreciate it as always.
Okay, thanks, guys. And I'll check on that IR again. And I will give
Please
you the
do.
Word
yes.
if it's not the case.
Yes, need a report on that. John Glennon does great work for Broadway Sports. Has covered Nashville sports, not just the Titans, for a long time. We'll have more on that. But, Darren, tell us about DraftKings.
I'll be more than happy to do that, Chase. And you know, if you've been listening to the show, DraftKings is live and up and running here in our wonderful state of Tennessee. Yes, sports betting, mobile sports betting, it's here in DraftKings. Is the place. Now, you may know them as the leading fantasy brand, but they have taken their passion for sports and developed America's top-rated sportsbook app. And for a limited time, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is offering all new users up to $1,000 with their first deposit. This isn't some offshore operation like other gambling sites. DraftKings is a legitimate sportsbook based right here in the U.S. So you can be confident that your funds are safe and secure. With the DraftKings Sportsbook app, you can bet from wherever, whenever. You don't even have to leave your house. Head to the app now. Check out all the DraftKings Sportsbook app has to offer and see today's odd boosts and promotions. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code 1025GAME when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users get a deposit bonus up to $1,000. You heard me right, $1,000. Don't forget the code 1025GAME. Get your deposit bonus up to $1,000. That's only on DraftKings Sportsbook app. Remember, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, you can call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.